Welcome to the Books and Culture podcast with John Wilson, who's the editor of Books and Culture. And today, John, we'll be looking at Ian Rankin's Standing in Another Man's Grave.
Ian Rankin's story is very interesting, Stan. He was a graduate student in literature, I believe in Scotland. That's where he writes all his books. And he was doing a dissertation, I believe, on Muriel Spark, who's one of my favorite novelists and grew up in Scotland herself. He decided that instead of doing that, he would write fiction himself. One of the books he wrote, he wasn't intending it as the first book in a series, but it featured a police detective named John Rebus. And he came back to that character after a little while and started writing more books about him. By the time, I don't know exactly which book it was in the series, the seventh or eighth book, he had an enormous following in the UK. And he's since become someone who is internationally known as a crime writer. He's never had the same level of popularity in the United States that he's had in the UK, and I'm not quite sure why that is, but he certainly has done well here. I think he's one of the best contemporary crime writers, and I think many people who read a lot of crime fiction would agree, and I think many people would also say that Rebus is one of the most memorable characters. He's like many characters in contemporary crime fiction. You and I have talked about the change over the decades in that form and the way in which it used to be that the private life of the protagonist, in most cases, there were exceptions, but in most cases, the private life didn't figure in a lot, and the characters often didn't change very much over time.
Sure.
Whereas now the opposite is the rule. There are exceptions, but the opposite is very much the rule that the characters age as the books proceed, and you learn a lot about their life in addition to the cases that they're working. Though in the case of Rebus, he is so completely absorbed with his job that he doesn't have much of a life outside his job. His marriage is broken up. Some of the earlier books, there's a lot about his daughter who becomes a teenager and a young woman, but she has largely been out of the picture for a while. So he wrote those books for some time. They were very popular. And finally, about 5 years ago, in a book called Exit Music, Rebus had reached the point where he had to retire. Hmm. That, again, is something that didn't happen in the earlier, the earlier ages of the crime novel. You didn't have the hero retiring. That happened in a couple of cases, but again, it wasn't common.
This sounds like a very long series.
Yeah, it is. Then he wrote two books about a new character named Malcolm Fox, who is in the equivalent, what they have in Scotland, that's the equivalent of what usually is called internal affairs and crime stories over here, the cops who investigate other cops. And so he did a very unusual thing in that he went from a protagonist like Rebus, who was a rule breaker, somewhat of a lone wolf. He would work with his fellow cops, but he was definitely a bit of a rogue in a good sense. Then in this new character, Malcolm Fox, was somebody whose job it was to make sure people told the line. And you saw the police force in those two books in a different light. There was more emphasis on the way that, unfortunately, many police just routinely abuse their powers in various ways. And it's extremely rare in crime fiction to find a positive depiction of a cop who's doing the kind of work that Malcolm Fox does. But these books managed to do that without making him sainted either. I mean, he has his own problems, all right.
These two characters, have they interacted, or are these totally separate series?
They were. The second series that I was telling you about only has two books. They were separate until this book.
Okay.
And in this book, Rebus returns, and he's not back on the force, but he's thinking about applying because they have raised the age of superannuation so that it would be legal for him to be accepted back on the force. Whether his superiors would want him is one question. But he's been working as a civilian in a cold case unit because they don't have enough manpower with the regular police to look into these cases that have long since gone cold. And so they've hired on a contract basis some cops who are retired to work in the unit to just go through these cases and see if they can turn anything up. So that's the premise of the new book. And in the course of pursuing a new case, Rebus ends up butting heads with Malcolm Fox. And what's very interesting is that the way you see Fox in this book is very different from the way that he's been portrayed in the two previous books, because you're seeing him mostly through the eyes of Rebus, but also you see Rebus in a different way when Fox is on the scene, because Rebus stands for much that Fox despises. In his view, he's a vestige of the past when people thought that they could just break the rules. It's not that Rebus is ever portrayed as one of the worst of the kinds of corrupt cops, but Fox is very suspicious of him. Mm-hmm. I can't recall, maybe there are other examples, in my own experience, I don't recall another case where a writer has done exactly that thing. And it's very interesting, apart from just the great pleasure, if you happen to be a fan of the Rebus books, that he's back. And of course, one hopes that he will indeed be allowed to rejoin the force and do his thing for a bit longer.
Well, it sounds like a kind of a Clash of the Titans kind of approach. I'm going to ask you what I always do. If someone doesn't have the history of reading all these previous volumes, should they pick up this volume or should they start at the beginning?
I would say that picking up this volume is a good idea. And if you like it, then go back to the beginning. And particularly for readers like us who see the world through Christian eyes, it's interesting that in the first few books, Rebus is wrestling with questions of God. And that's something that it's not the main subject, but it comes up. It's there. It's a motif in the first few books. And then that just disappears, which was a disappointment to me. Mm-hmm. I regret that. You can't read too much into those things. How much that reflects anything about Rankin himself, I don't know. But it was something noticeable in the earlier books that is now, and for some time, just hasn't been part of the picture. And it isn't in this new book either. But I would say read this book first if you like it. My own advice, as you know, I'm a completist, so my own advice would be go back to the beginning and enjoy the whole caboodle.